Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Midweek F1 podcast. We've got everything you need to keep up to date with Formula One this season. Midweek F1 is the last word on the race weekend we've just had and the first look at the next Grand Prix that's coming up. So make sure you like, follow, subscribe, wherever you get your podcasts, make sure you stay up to date with everything we've got. My name is Claire Cottingham. I'm standing in for Nicola this week and we're joined by the fountain of all F1 knowledge, which is Mr. Ben Edwards. Thank you so much for joining us, Ben.
Thanks, Claire. Great to be with you. And what a compelling Canadian Grand Prix. It leaves all sorts of championship fallout. So first, we need to talk about what happened in Montreal.
Yeah, we do. We've got so much to get into. So let's also bring in our incredibly very special guest joining us this week. Motorsport presenter, commentator, all-round good egg, Nikki Shields. Hello, Nikki.
Hello, guys. Well, right back at you. I've been listening, watching this podcast, so it's a pleasure to be with you and Ben.
Oh, it's great to have you along, Nikki. Loads to discuss. And we've got our We Need to Talk About feature today, of course, is yet another driver in the seat swap merry-go-round that's going on.
Yeah, and of course, we've got our very own midweek F1 prediction championship of the world. Who chose wisely in predicting the top three in Canada? We are going to find out as we try to pick a winner as well for the Austrian Grand Prix.
Yeah, we're going to dive into what we might expect in Austria, the next stop in the 2025 F1 Championship. So let's get stuck into it all.
Yeah, Ben, let's kick it off with the... we're going to have to mention off the back of this, like the fourth Grand Prix winner in 2025. Take a bow, Mr. George Russell. He has converted Mr. Saturday now into Mr. Weekend, it has to be said, because he has massively impressed in Canada. Early pressure as well from Max Verstappen at the start, but it was basically from there his to lose. Meanwhile, despite it being less of an action-packed race, Kimi Antonelli had an amazing performance for Mercedes. We're going to talk about that. But Ben, the talk of the town is McLaren. Lando Norris, right, went for a gap. Of course, going for a gap is what you want to do, but you don't want to go for a gap when there's not a gap and you smash into your teammate, do you?
Absolutely not. And it was bizarre. And like Nikki, I do some F1 Academy commentating and they're juniors. They're rookies in racing. And fair enough, there were a few errors like that in F1 Academy over the weekend in Montreal. But to see it in Formula One with Lando Norris doing it on his teammate, I was like, wow, how did that happen? But I mean, the whole race, you know, George Russell and Antonelli, Mercedes in great form. That was fabulous to see. There were some other great performances as well. I mean, it was a bit surprising that Piastri ended up finishing down in fourth place. That was, you know, a little bit of a surprise to the whole thing. But further down the order, Ferrari not having a great day. Nice to see Fernando Alonso getting in the points again. That was encouraging. Nico Hülkenberg, as you mentioned. Esteban Ocon, he was good as well. He started down in 14th place, got some points again for the Haas team. So I think that was good news. And I did feel for Williams because at one stage that weekend, they looked really, really strong. And then part of qualifying went wrong for Carlos Sainz. He was so frustrated. Yeah, he got in 10th place. Alex Albon was out, though. That was a real write-off weekend for Williams. But yeah, so much going on one way or the other.
So much to get into, don't we, Ben? Like I mentioned, do follow and subscribe. We're also on YouTube if you want to see our faces. So do make sure you press that little like, subscribe button and you get little notifications and all sorts of clever things to know where we are. Right, producer Jim is on the line as always. Every single week we have you there ready to bring us all the big stories that's been happening over the Formula One weekend. Jim, how are you doing? What you picked out?
Hello, right. Let's start. What a performance by George Russell. Pole position, fastest lap and winner. Flash in the pan, or do we think we have a fourth contender for the Drivers' Championship? Discuss.
Well, I think that's an interesting one. I think Mercedes had such a good car around Montreal, but it's not always great. You know, if it had been a bit hotter there, that could have made a bit of difference. But it just works around that track. It did last year as well. Remember that George Russell and Max Verstappen did exactly the same lap time last year. This time, George got pole, made a great start, perfectly run all weekend. I was so impressed by what he did. His enthusiasm after he got that pole position was lovely to hear. And he just delivered everything right. It was wonderful to see. The car was clearly working well. Kimi Antonelli also doing a good job. So is he going to be a challenger for the championship? I rather doubt he will be, but he's a consistent podium finisher. There's no doubt that he can be a threat, depending on what others do, if they make too many errors, and we're seeing some of those. So George could potentially be a threat, but I'm just not sure the Mercedes is going to be competitive across all of the tracks we're still going to.
I think you have to say that this was an incredibly good track for Mercedes in general. Kimi Antonelli, of course, fighting off some of the big guns behind him, and was lucky. He lucked out a little bit, I guess, with having the two McLarens ending up banging into each other and Lando Norris crashing out the race. But you have to say Mercedes really nailed it around there. And what I have to say about George is that he is suddenly really becoming an all-rounder of a driver. We called him Mr. Saturday a long time ago because he always used to deliver during qualifying. Of course, qualifying is only half the job. You've got to get the points on the day. And I just think that he feels like now, maybe because Lewis isn't there as well, he has the time to shine. And I really think that he's become a bit more of an all-rounder. And I think that absolutely Canada proved that. Is he a championship contender? Maybe waited a little bit too long. And like you say, Ben, maybe the tracks moving forward famously won't suit Mercedes in the same way. But I think it's definitely, you know, something to be considering as we move forward.
Whilst we've been talking about Hadjar, Kimi Antonelli has been learning and bang, third place whilst defending from the championship leader. And he's 18. Discuss.
Claire, what do you think about that?
Well, it's funny, actually, Ben, because last time I was on with you, we spoke a lot about rookies, didn't we? And I said Isaac Hadjar, I had written off at the beginning of the season, and he made us all eat our words. And at the time, I said about Kimi Antonelli, he looks like he's starting to shine. And I think that, again, I don't think that he's coming in with the bang that maybe we're used to. And I'm going, he's going to win a championship by 2 years' time. I don't think we're there yet, but I think this has been a really impressive performance. He is only 18 years old, but age sort of comes out of it when you think about the likes of Max Verstappen, who was, you know, coming in as one of the youngest drivers in history to come in and win races. But it is a really interesting dynamic between George Russell and Kimi Antonelli, and also just seeing what Kimi Antonelli is learning. He's starting to really feel that car in a bit of a different way. And I think he's also getting his elbows out a lot more.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think he's a star of the future, and it's great to see. And it was lovely to see him get his first podium. No doubt. Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Let's talk about Ferrari. Once again, they looked all over the place. Plan A, B or C didn't work out, and they're looking bang average once again. How do you solve a problem like Ferrari? Discuss.
Well, that is a big question. How do you solve a problem like Ferrari? Because over the years, you know, they sometimes have those moments where it starts to come together and then it all falls apart again. And even Vasseur, the team boss, has been under a bit of pressure, I noticed, from media in Italy recently. He's been able to sort of throw that away at the moment. But I feel for that, because I think he's actually a very good team boss. But the team is just not really gelling together at the moment. And you could hear the frustration from Charles Leclerc on strategy on the radio when he was heading around the track, and also the frustration from Lewis about the feel of the car. They're both such talented drivers, and it is frustrating. What do you think, Claire? I mean, it is a bit typical Ferrari at this stage, isn't it?
I mean, what are we going to do about Ferrari? Apparently just put everyone in endurance racing, because they've just absolutely smashed it at the 24 hours of Le Mans. But I have to agree with you. Yes, it's an interesting thing. Mostly we've seen both drivers getting frustrated on the radio, but Charles particularly, I feel like he's starting to lose his rag a little bit and starting to really be like, why are we doing this? And before, Charles used to, he would question it and be like, oh, why are we doing this? Whereas now he's like, this is stupid. Why are we doing this? You know, maybe not stupid. He might not be using that word, but there is a lot more frustration in his voice than I think we've heard in former years. And I think, you know, there's always this ongoing joke about Ferrari's strategy. Which one are we having? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, they never seem to quite get it right. They're always on the edge of glory. And I thought this year we might see some changes with Lewis Hamilton being there, but it seems that the frustrations are still there. And now the questions are being turned, as always, to the team principal, like you say, Fred Vasseur, who I think is an excellent team principal. And will we once again see the ever-changing, you know, team principals at Ferrari? Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, Jim.
Right, the big one. McLaren clash out of the top three for the first time this season. Could this be the start of 2024 in reverse for them? Discuss.
Go on, Dad. I think this is the perfect storm for McLaren, because we feel like they've always been just about to touch or just about to hit, or there's been a bit of bubbling between the drivers and everyone's shouting, oh, you need a number one driver and you need this and you need that, you need to choose who you're going to back in this race. And actually them coming together when they came together and how they came together was actually the worst situation, but actually the perfect scenario for it, because they didn't throw away a race win. As Andrea Stella, the team principal, said afterwards, it's a learning process from here. I don't quite know what they need to learn from here. Lando Norris maybe not driving into his teammate is probably the only one. But, you know, everything's a learning process with Andrea Stella. But I do think it's a bit of a perfect storm for them, really. And I think the main thing here, Ben, is, are we going to start talking about team orders? Are they going to come back for McLaren? Is this going to have to be something that is discussed?
Well, that's always a question, of course. But we are, I mean, yes, we are moving through the series a little bit more now, but we're still not quite halfway there through the championship. So, and they do love the fact that they're racing against each other and they've got this big lead in the Constructors' Championship, of course. Mm. But they did lose some vital points in the Constructors' Championship, even though they have a huge lead. And Lando, you know, the way he admitted straight away on radio, that was my fault. I mean, fair enough. And it was his fault. It was an error. He just went for a piece of position that just was not possible, and Piastri had not moved anymore. It was just Lando, and it just feels, it was the same in qualifying. He's just making those odd mistakes at the moment when he's got such talent, such ability, such speed in an F1 car, but you just feel he's getting broken away a little bit from it. How do they get him to have that confidence back, you know? And yes, they kind of got to let them racing, but you're right. We are getting to a stage in the season where they will have to start thinking about, do we tell one or the other to do something? I think they will allow them still to race going forwards at the moment. But they've got to be a bit wary, because in terms of the Drivers' Championship, they certainly want one of them to win the Drivers' Championship. And if it gets too confusing, then, of course, we could see a Verstappen or even a Russell, as we mentioned earlier, nipping through the middle if they are fighting each other too much. So we shall see what happens. But yeah, it was not ideal for McLaren this weekend.
Ben, I think one of the main things that a lot of people are kind of saying here is that you've got to pick your first driver. And the thing is, when you look at history, the number one driver has been the best driver. And the problem McLaren have here is that both of them are equally excellent. And we've seen nobody... They're almost equal on wins, I think, at this point. And yes, Oscar Piastri has been stronger this season, but when are we going to see the shift where someone has to be put forward first? Does that become halfway season when Oscar's running? Yeah, go on.
It's points. Whoever's up on points, they will make a decision at some point. You've got to be up there. So at the moment, that is Piastri. He's got more points than Lando Norris, and you just have to get on with it at that point. When I just don't think they're going to be quite ready to do it yet. That's the thing. With Zak Brown being a racer himself, I think he's quite happy to let them race as long as they don't take each other off, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating storyline as we go, who's going to be world champion. And if they hand it to Max, then, I mean, there'll be definite questions to be asked. Jim, what else you got?
Right, final one. Another honourable mention for Nico Hülkenberg. Another brilliant drive. Could he be the big winner from the flexi-wing rule change? Discuss.
Oh, I'd love to see him win a race. I've commentated on Hülkenberg since his early years. He did what was called A1GP back then, and I used to commentate on that, and he was very successful in that, and he went through all the ranks into Formula One. And for him to never be on the podium, it just feels all wrong to me, because he's such a talented driver, and he's doing a great job for Sauber, bearing in mind that they are definitely, I think, as Audi, moving forward to next year. I think there's a lot of work going on to the new rules for next year. But I'm pleased to see what he can do, that they have made some improvement, because they were so far down at the start of the year. So, yeah, great to see Nico Hülkenberg scoring some points for the team. Oh, and one day I would just love to see him on the podium. Now, it's been a great weekend watching the Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal. And Nikki, it's great to have you with us this time as well. We've both worked on Formula E. You're lead presenter now for Formula E coverage. But what are your thoughts on that race in Montreal? What did you get a good chance to watch it? And what did you think of it?
Oh, I did. I always, I think
judge watching an F1 race is how many moments do I like stand up and shout at the TV? And there were quite a few of those. So I would actually rate it as quite a good race. You know, it was brilliant to see Mercedes back in there mixing things up. A brilliant moment, you know, in qualifying for George Russell there, up on Max Verstappen by a tenth. Then to, you know, basically hold off Max for the whole race, not cave in under all of that pressure, and to bring home a win for the team. Then obviously you've got records being made with Kimi and Antonelli there, like, you know, being the third youngest podium winner in F1 history, which I think basically is another massive credit to Toto Wolff being like, yeah, I can pick talent and I know how to breed them. You know, they're not necessarily like straight out of the blocks at the beginning. This is like all about nurture. This is all about giving them the kind of the right ingredients and the right start in F1 for them to then shine. And I also think you might have mentioned it earlier, but, you know, his dominance that we saw, well, not his dominance, but the start of potential dominance from Kimi Antonelli is like one of the strongest starts that we've seen since Lewis Hamilton back in 2007, which I thought was quite interesting. And then, of course, as I think Andrea Stella said, the team principal of McLaren, it was a when, not if, of the two McLaren drivers coming together. So it was a when moment, obviously, with Lando holding his hands up and said it was my fault. He didn't really have an option, did he? He had to hold his hand up and say it was my fault. You couldn't really argue it any other way. But this is a massive opportunity, I think, for Oscar Piastri to capitalise on it. It's going to shake Lando Norris. Lando's probably not going to be feeling quite so decisive in the moves that he's going to make on Piastri next time out in Austria. So, you know, where he's trying to show his dominance against his teammate, it's kind of backfired. And I think, you know, Piastri could potentially capitalise on that. So it was a good one, I thought. Had all the ingredients.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. And that's a really good insight as well into the how it all went. How are things going for you in terms of your motorsport background and what's coming up next?
What is coming up next? Well, literally, I have a ginormous suitcase full of all the clothes that are from my last race that need to be unpacked, cleaned, and put back in, because on Wednesday, so day after tomorrow, I will be flying to Jakarta for Formula E. And
Jakarta.
Then the week after,
good one.
Yeah, exactly. No, it should be a brilliant one. I haven't actually been for FE before. I missed one because I was heavily pregnant and decided to avoid it. and then the week after that, I will be in Austria for the F1. So a busy couple of weeks coming up.
Excellent.
Aren't you famously terrible at unpacking, Nikki?
Yeah. It just sits there.
Yeah. I thought I was okay. I thought that was the case. I was like, I've got a memory of this and you're terrible at it.
I just don't like to do things that don't really need to be done until the very last moment, unless it's, you know, something rewarding, which unpacking and packing a suitcase is not. I feel like I can do it very, very efficiently when I'm given a very tight deadline, like 45 minutes till we leave for the airport.
I mean, look, you are an incredibly busy woman, not only, you know, with your career as well, but, you know, you've got 20 million kids as well to be looking after in that house. So I bow down to how incredible you are in terms of what you do. But not only that, you worked across F1 Academy. I kind of want to look into that a little bit more, because we talk a lot about women in motorsport. We've just seen Jamie Chadwick in Le Mans, of course. We've seen the Iron Dames as well, the all-female team, both having quite a bad time out there, but retiring and such. But it's an interesting thing, because the conversation is always, when are we going to see a woman in F1, right? But that's not really the story, is it? Because we're trying to say, when are we seeing women given the same stepping stones to get into F1? And when are we going to see the tides changing in terms of how women are perceived as well in motorsport? What are your kind of thoughts around that, working within F1 Academy so closely?
Yeah, I think you touched on two really interesting points. First of all, there is the opportunity and the ambition of wanting that opportunity. And then there's the perception. And obviously, it takes a huge amount of time for young girls' perception to change of, oh, I want to be a Formula One driver, or I want to be a motor, you know, it's not just about Formula One, let's be honest. It's about getting into motorsports. You know, we need more women in the sport, in the driving seat and behind. But it's exactly the same in every other sport. You know, we grew up watching football played by men. So did I aspire to be a football player? No, I did not.
We couldn't even play football at school. Could you play football at school?
Of course not.
We weren't allowed to do it.
We played lacrosse. Yeah. It wasn't an opportunity.
And I didn't do that.
Bit of hockey, just, you know, give it a stiff and whack someone. I mean, sorry, no.
Go for the shins.
Well, I definitely, yeah, what else? Yeah, anyway, let's not get into that. What sports Nikki did at school and failed at. That's another podcast. But yeah, it's, you know, changing the perception at a grassroots level, so that the next generation wants to work in motorsport or become a racing driver. I mean, and I think it's working so well. And the perfect example is my six-year-old son. The girls in his class now say, no, mummy, I don't want to watch the boys. I want to watch the girls. And they can. Yeah. They can watch F1 Academy. Now, that's not saying that only women can watch F1 Academy, but it does just help. You can relate to someone if they are the same sex as you, because it's that old phrase, you know, see it to believe it. And it is just brilliant that we are now seeing it. And then, of course, you've got the other side, which is all about opportunity, getting all of this young sort of female talent in cars, again, from a grassroots level, so that there is a massive talent pool. You know, think of the thousands of drivers that want to get into F1, and it's the top 20, you know. This is no good saying, oh, we've produced 20 female racing drivers. It's like, no, we got to produce thousands of them and then pick the best ones. It's got to be, you know, the cream of the crop. It is so, obviously, we all know how competitive it is at the top there, but you need a massive talent pool to start with to get that talent at the top. So, yeah, it's working wonders, I think. And what Susie Wolf has done, you know, massive, massive credit to her and to F1 to supporting it as well, putting it on an F1 race weekend. You can't beat it, really. You cannot not see it.
It's really good. I agree with you on that. And I've been enjoying commentating on F1 Academy as well, actually. It's been some good stuff. And there are some very talented youngsters in that at the moment. But let's just move on. And we've got to go into our We Need to Talk About section. And again, it's another driver in the Red Bull system, Yuki Tsunoda. Yet another driver struggling in the second Red Bull. His 12th place in Canada, representing his third straight non-points finish in a car that Max was finishing second in. So where does he go from here? And Nikki, what are your thoughts on this? Seeing a driver with Red Bull, you know some of the drivers that have been with Red Bull. It's proving tough for Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's proving tough for Yuki, but it's proved tough for basically any of Max Verstappen's teammates. So I think the question perhaps maybe is going to be more like, are Red Bull going to design a car for Max Verstappen next season? Or are Red Bull going to design a car for their two drivers? Because whatever that car is, however it's been built, whatever that piece of machinery is obviously very fast, but it's only fast when there's one man in it. And now we can see that they are consequently suffering in the Constructors' Championship because, you know, to be able to bring that home, you need both drivers fighting at the top, which obviously McLaren at the moment are doing excellently. So I think it's going to be some internal questions going on at Red Bull. I don't think Yuki Tsunoda is going to be moving anytime soon. I mean, you know, you then look at, well, who are you going to move in to his position? And I think they'll probably equally suffer. It's not going to be a quick fix, that's for sure. So yeah, I think it's maybe more questions about what's going to happen next season rather than looking ahead to the second half of this one.
The thing is with the second seat in Red Bull, I feel that everyone tries to have Max's setup to beat Max, whereas Yuki at the moment has decided to pick up his own setup and see if he can beat Max that way. So I think that second seat is always the poison chalice that we always talk about, isn't it? So Yuki, at least being in the Young Driver Academy and being with Red Bull for a while, maybe will be, you know, stuck there for a bit longer. But it's interesting to see. I think also Red Bull are just they're not winning at the moment, so they're trying to do anything to win. We saw the protest, didn't we, in Canada, which we haven't touched on really, actually, Ben. The protests were, you know, the highlights went out before the protests had even been decided. And it turned out that, you know, they were trying to take away George Russell's win because he was slowing down essentially behind the, but they said he was slowing down behind the safety car. So it's a bit panicky at the moment. And also you have to remember that that Max Verstappen has got one penalty point away from a ban. So anything that some teams could do to start maybe just teasing Red Bull into going, you might lose your number one driver here. So Yuki might have a lot to do in a couple of races' time because you could pick up a penalty point very quickly in Formula One, can't you, Ben?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely right. So anything can happen. And of course, we've got to start thinking ahead now as to how this is all going to work because we've got to start thinking about the next Grand Prix, the Austrian Grand Prix, which is yet another one that Max has dominated in the past in many ways. He's taken five wins. But then last year, it all went a bit wrong with Max and Lando. And it was, funnily enough, George Russell who ended up winning the race. So, yeah, he's still in the right place to gain that if that happens. And obviously showing great pace over the course of this last weekend. So going into Austria, it's a bit fascinating. What do you both think of it? What are your thoughts for both of you going into this Austrian Grand Prix?
I feel like Max is probably, you know, after having a bit of a torrid race, obviously, in Spain, and then things are slightly calmed down this weekend in Canada, I feel like he's probably going to be in a better headspace. The pressure is slightly off him because Lando Norris made that mistake. Okay, yes, he's got Piastri kind of breathing down his neck, but he beat Piastri. I feel like, you know, will George Russell's that dominance continue? I think it's early days, you know, he's not necessarily going to be on the top step again. Yes, he's going to challenge perhaps for, you know, a podium position again with Max. But Max has just got so much experience there. It's a home race. You know, yes, it does bring added pressure, but it also brings so much support. So I think that all might play to his advantage this weekend. I mean, yeah, again, George will be right there. But and the McLaren drivers are just going to probably, well, I don't know. But given the fact that they've got to move on from the big incident in Canada, they might be slightly less aggressive on track, at least with each other anyway.
I mean, I said again, two words. Penalty points. He's got to be careful out there. Yeah. And he doesn't want to pick up another penalty point and get a race ban. It's not that you just can't take part in qualifying. That's a lot of points. You know, that's a DNF. That's 25 points lost for a win. You know, that's not playing around. And drivers these days, we don't really... I think the last... Ben, you'll know this better than I can. Was it Kevin Magnussen that got a driver ban the last one? I'm going to make you go back into your catalogue of your brain. But I'm trying to think the last time we saw a driver ban.
I think that's right. Yes, I think it was. It's very rare that drivers actually do go to that 12 points and actually get chucked out. But you're right, because Max, just the one point away from being chucked out, he's got to think about it. But he did a good job over the weekend, didn't he? You know, he was sensible. He didn't quite have the car to beat George Russell. He tried hard with it. But that was sensible, much more sensible than it was in Spain.
I'm sure we'll continue talking about this battle, the three of them, and you know how it's all going to go for the next couple of rounds, and I can't wait personally to see. I think it's time to look though at our prediction championship of the world. The rules of the prediction championship of the world, they're pretty simple, really, but I'm going to explain them anyway because I forget every time. Pick the winner, you receive 6 points. 4 points for second, 2 points for third, and 1 point for fastest lap. You've got Ben, producer Jim. We've got our esteemed guest, which, of course, is Nikki Shields today. And Nicola, of course, because she's the most competitive woman that I've ever met in the world, always has to have her predictions as well. Now, we're into 10 races into our very own championship of the world. Let's take a look, though, at the standings in our championship table after Canada. Who do we think's in the lead, guys? Ben, who do you think's leading?
Well, it won't certainly be me. I know that.
It's not you, Ben. You are very low.
I know.
In it.
I know.
Nikki,
I'm
no
hopeless
pressure.
At this.
Nikki, no pressure, but the teams are okay, leading the way. Right. 44 points at the moment. Nicola, 36 points. A big fat zero, though, for the second race in a row. So she's struggling out there. Producer Jim on 32. He got 4 points for Max's second place. And Ben, 1 point just for calling Russell's George Russell's fastest lap. Wow, wow, wow. You are down in 31 points. Absolutely. So, yeah, no pressure at all, Nikki. I'm going to give Nicola's first. Nicola, everywhere. I'm going to give Nicola's first because she has said she's going to go for, well, she said P1. I'll go with fastest lap first, actually. She thinks fastest lap is Max. Are we shocked? We're going to go P3 George, and she's put in brackets because he'll be in smug mode after Canada. Oscar's P2, I think, and again, brackets, I think Lando's head has gone. That's her words, not mine. And P1, King Max is what she's written here. King Max. I mean, come on, Nicola, we're going to have a chat about this. Right, okay. Ben, I'm going to start with you, my darling. What are we picking? And pick wisely, because you're bottom of the table.
I know, and I still will be. That's the way it goes. I always manage to predict wrong, but it's fun to try. Okay, I'm going to go for Piastri for the win this time. I'm going to go for Max in second, and I think I'll go for, just as a bit of a surprise, I'm going to go for Charles Leclerc third, and fastest lap, I will go for Lando Norris. It's probably completely wrong with all of those, but it's worth a try.
Okay, no pressure, Ms. Shields, but what are we saying? Where are you going?
So, I knew you did this bit in the podcast, and I genuinely wrote these down. Okay.
Well done. Proud of you. I'm glad. Well done for doing your homework.
In third place, George Russell. In second place, Oscar Piastri. And in first place, Max Verstappen. So clearly, the two Nicks are thinking and spending too much time together because we're thinking along the same page. And my flying lap is blank, so I feel like this is where I need to mix it up. I will say something different to Nicola. To the fastest lap, I am going to go with, tricky. Do you know what? Let's go with George.
Okay. Yeah? You sure about that? Yeah.
Sounds good.
I'm sure about that.
Around Austria? Yeah? Yeah, I mean, look, it's up to you.
I feel like we've got to somehow, my predictions are quite predictable. So it's always good to just throw one in there a bit random.
It's all in the name, Nikki. Predictions, predictable. It's all right. It's okay. I never do the predictions, so I'm always happy about this. I just sit on my smug little non-prediction life. Yeah, I know, exactly. But that's what happens. I get paid more than you, and I get to... No, I don't. Right. That's all the predictions. So we've got everything that we need. Jim's written them all down, and we're going to work it all out.
We need Jim's.
Oh, sorry, Jim. I didn't forget you.
In a way, yeah. Okay. Okay, I'm going to go again. I'm also going for Max Verstappen. Should have won last year, obviously. It's been dominant there in the past. I'm going to go George Russell second because I think Mercedes may be back because of the flexi wings things. I'm going Oscar Piastri third because he's being steady Eddie for the championship. And fastest lap, Norris, because some other calamity will probably happen.
Okay, brilliant. Love that. Okay, do make sure you put all your predictions as well in the comments. We want to hear what you have to say. Who is going to be first, second, third in Austria, and who is going to get the fastest lap? Can you beat Nikki Shields and Ben Edwards as well as producer Jim? I never like doing predictions, so I won't. But make sure you get involved down in the comments section if you're watching on YouTube.
And Nikki, it's been great to have you with us. But what we want is your fun story or facts that is always part of this podcast. What have you got for us?
Well, I was listening because I promise you I do listen. And Vicky Butler Henderson gave you a little fun fact about an owl.
Indeed.
So I thought I would stick to the same vein of a fun fact about another animal. Did you know that there are some species of turtle that breathe through their bum?
Right, okay, that's very useful to know. Thank you. Is that something you've always known?
Oh my goodness.
I learnt it, although I am a biologist and zoologist, so, could have been something that I learnt at university, but actually I learnt it listening to the Yoto radio, which is my kids' radio, and they give you fun facts every morning. And that really was
I have been
very
doing
suitable.
The 20... I've been doing the 24 hours of Le Mans, and I feel like this whole podcast has been a wonderful fever dream. I think it's about right to finish it there, Nikki, to be honest. I'm going to wish you safe travels to Jakarta.
So long talking about F1. We will blame my connectivity issues. Fingers crossed they work next weekend in Austria.
Honestly, look, hey, if you want more chaos, do make sure you follow, subscribe, whether that's on YouTube or whether that's on wherever you get your podcasts. We are going to go and have a lie down in a dark room because this has been a chaotic one. Midweek F1 will be back soon, so make sure you join us then and stay up to date with everything that's going on in F1.